You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK.
Let's get ready to rumble!
Yes, hello, welcome along to the William Hill Boxing Podcast with Steve Bunce. My name is Mark Walton, filling in for Lee in the presenter's chair this week, and Buncey is on the line. How are you, Buncey?
Never been better. Bogged down in billion-dollar deals and the promises of boxing being on 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, every single country in the world. Apart from that, things are not bad.
Boxing is booming at the moment, as we seem to have mentioned on a number of occasions. And in Britain last week, attention was caught massively by Bellew here too, of course. And the fight very much lived up to the bill, really. You know, I thought it was fantastic. I've written Bellew off a number of times in this fight, both fights, and he just keeps proving me wrong. It was a fantastic fight on Saturday.
Yeah, we have an expression in boxing. It's quite a simple one. It's he finds a way to win, and that is almost, that's Tony Bellew's operating practice. He finds a way to win. And even if you don't write him off, you don't think he's going to win. So you're not saying, you know, he's a bum, he's this, that and the other, but you just think that, hey, he might have it left. And don't be fooled by people telling you, oh, hey, was absolutely rubbish. He was in the last couple of rounds, because Bellew had beaten the last remnants of fight out of David Hay in the first three rounds, especially the third round. Trust me, if David Hay had connected with one of those rights in the second round and not Tony Bellew spark out, we'd be talking about Anthony Joshua against David Hay right now. No, Tony Bellew took care of that. And it was a great event. I'm stunned by some of the people online, supposedly working in our business, that are knocking it, trying to downgrade it. It was a great, fun event. 19,000 people did great numbers on pay-per-view, and they delivered an old-fashioned, rip-roaring fight. What's not to like about that?
In terms of entertainment, it was brilliant. I mean, you see heavyweight world title fights recently, in fact, that are a bit more cagey and a little bit more standoffish, and that had fireworks, didn't it? That's what you want to see, I suppose. You know,
listen, what you want to see is, you want to see two men trying to prove something and trying to do something. And if you add to that a little asterisk that says the loser of this is going nowhere, in bold capital letters, nowhere. That was the belt up for grabs there. It was avoiding that belt, the going nowhere belt, because no belt in boxing is as disastrous to own as the going nowhere belt. It means that you're going nowhere. Sorry to sound like Donald Trump, but that's exactly what it means. And you're stuffed. Your life, career, and earning potential is gone. And that's why it was so desperate. What makes it so exciting. I mean, people are in denial. I mean, they're purely in denial. If they want to see 50-50 fights, go to an amateur boxing show. Go to one of the small... There's about seven small hall shows in Great Britain this Saturday. All the people that moaned about last week, I hope they're paying their 30 quid at the door to watch 8 50-50 fights. I really do.
Yeah. You've mentioned there you've done your Donald Trump impression going nowhere.
Hey, I was quite good.
I did as well. I didn't know you could do that. So you think, is David Hay done now for you?
Yeah, he is done, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, last time out, Achilles goes. Everyone knows that changes the fight. So, you know, there's a bit of doubt. You know, we're not sure. But what we saw the other day was David Hay in brilliant condition. First two rounds, a round and a half, he looked okay. But a little bit stiff. Once he got clipped in the third, absolutely gone. Body deserted him. Nothing wrong with his heart. Nothing wrong with his desire. That's never been in question. But his body can't do it. And nobody will stomach David Hay against some guy that's going to fall over if David Hay breathes on him. So, therefore, no one's going to stomach David Hay in a test with someone as good as Bellew, because we've seen what Bellew's done the last two times. So where do you go? Where do you make any money? You know, you can't, and it would be conning. You can't con people in 6 months' time and say, look, I had a real problem there. My diet was wrong. This was wrong. I sorted my legs out. I sorted my arm out. No. I mean, he wouldn't sell your call out in 6 months' time. And therefore, he can't generate any money. And he's not going to fight for 25 grand, is he? Think about it. If he's making 3 and 4 and 5 million, and he's been making that type of money since 2009, he's not stupid enough to come back and fight for the type of money that you know, the hangers-on in his corner make from his fight. So I think he's done, and what's more, I'd love him to be done. Nothing to prove. He's done everything. He's had a great run, trust me.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, he's up there with one of the best British boxers we've seen, and hopefully, you know, he doesn't keep coming back like this and almost tarnish that reputation, I suppose.
Well, it will tarnish it, because it's 2009 that he won the world title. So, yeah, do it on your fingers. That's 9 years ago. Yeah. That's another Donald Trump thing, because he loves to count on his fingers, doesn't he? One, two, three. You get stuck about four or five because you have to switch hands. So it sometimes goes 5-7, but hey-ho. No, quite seriously, it was 9 years ago he won that title. 2011... he lost to Vladimir Klitschko. 2012 at Upton Park, when he had that great mad grudge fight with Derek Del Boy Chisora. These are all so long ago. It's time to go, without a doubt. Anyway.
What next for Bellew anyway, just quickly before we move on to this week?
Bellew's interesting. He's got all sorts of options. He's looking for the big money option, which is, you know, trying to infuriate Tyson Fury into agreeing the fight. And why not? Why not bounce from freak fight to freak fight? You know, he did enough in those two fights to deserve anything he can negotiate, as far as I'm concerned. Mm-hmm. And bear in mind, boxing's a business where you don't get what you deserve. You get what you negotiate. And if he can negotiate a fight against Tyson Fury in some kind of bizarre catchweight, mad, crazy night, then all the better for him. Because I tell you what, if he wants to go back to cruiserweight and fight one of the Russians or the Ukrainians for relative peanuts in a harder fight, it's a no-brainer. Who's going to do that? Who in their right mind, if they're making XX, would suddenly decide, oh, I'm going to go back and make X? No one. Everyone wants to make more, don't they?
Yeah.
And that's the bottom line. No matter what you do, whether you drive a bus or you fight for a living. So he'll push for a freak fight. He'll try and get one, an odd one.
Okay. Sticking with the heavyweights in Britain this week as well, we've got Sam Sexton against Huey Fury, of course, Tyson Fury's cousin. Sam Sexton, 11-1 in the betting. The draw, 33-1, and Huey Fury is 1-33, 33-1 on for this British heavyweight.
33-1 on?
Yes, for this.
Wow.
In Bolton. Do you think that's too short?
A British heavyweight title fight against a kid that doesn't knock people out, and a seasoned man that's been fighting at the top domestic level for 7 or 8 years. 33-1. Wow. I tell you what, Sam Sexton at 11-1 is a good bet, because Huey's not that busy. One of Huey's flaws is he's not busy. So when he fought Joseph Parker for the world title last September, he could have won the fight. It was a tight fight, but he could have easily won it had he thrown six more jabs around. So, and Sexton will not make any mistakes. He will not finish the fight thinking, oh, I should have done more. No, Sexton will leave everything in the ring. And I'm telling you, unless Huey's busier, Sexton can beat him on points. 11-1, that's a terrific bet for Sexton. 33-1 for Huey, whoa.
33-1 on, yeah.
I mean, that's what I'm saying, 33-1 on.
Yeah.
That's just quite staggering.
Do you think, would you say we're Sexton on points, and is that what we go with? Because
No, listen, no. Listen, I fancy Huey, with a rocket up his jacksy, will do the business. But he's got to have that degree of urgency. Now, sometimes fighters get a bit of urgency through a bit of fear, and there's no fear attached here. Huey thinks he's going to win. The people around him think they're going to win. That's why they bid for the fight, and that's why they're putting it on in Huey's hometown. But, you know, Sexton's only got to have, he's in the twilight of what is a career that's blossoming late. He's just got, if he stays busy and starts clubbing, it's going to be tight and messy all the way through. So, you know, I think Sexton's there after 12 rounds. And any fighter that you think or you completely, truly believe is going to be there after 12 rounds, I can't see how he can be 33-1. In the fights where guys have been on those type of odds before, it's because you knew they were going to get blasted out. Whew. I mean, I fancy Fury, don't get me wrong. But I'd be amazed if it's a walk in the park. I fancy he wins just by movement, by using his faster hands, piling up points. Hey, he might mark Sexton up for some sort of stoppage. But the favourite bet is Huey Fury on points. But where he has to work. Far away.
Yeah. I mean, that's not bad, obviously, because it's priced up as if he's going to knock Sexton out. He's obviously, wow. You know, you can get 13-8 that Huey Fury wins on points, which looks miles more attractive than that 1-33.
Cool, does it ever?
Yeah.
I'm really surprised by that.
You didn't think he'd be that short?
I didn't. I mean, yeah. You know, listen, I expected him to be the favourite. Don't get me wrong.
Yeah.
But that shocked me.
Okay. Well, maybe the bookies will be wrong then, and don't go for Fury to make light work of it. Fury on points, the recommendation from Buncey at 13-8.
And that's not a bad bet. That's not a bad bet.
Yeah. What about looking at the other fight then as well? Because looking forward to this quite quite a lot, really. Madison Square Garden, Vasyl Lomachenko against Jorge Linares. Lomachenko is 1-12 in the betting. The draw 25-1. Linares is 13-2. Lomachenko, you know, he's been called the Matrix and all this kind of stuff. He's going for three to become a three-weight world champion. He looks a bit of a machine, doesn't he?
Yeah, he's slowly rewriting just about all of the boxing books. People are having to take a long, hard look at what we've previously accepted as the normal and what we've previously imagined guys can do. And he's rewriting things. And what's more, the guys he's beaten to acquire his two world titles so far, he's only had 11 fights. The guys he's beaten have been really good fighters. He hasn't gone through the back door here. He hasn't taken the easy option. He's beaten unbeaten guys, champions. I mean, and now he's fighting Linares, who we've seen over here in Britain beat a couple of fighters in three fights, Anthony Quala and Kevin Mitchell. And he's a terrific fighter. I mean, he's arguably the best lightweight in the world. And what, he's entering a fight against a man that's never fought at that weight, who's 1-13. What we're seeing here, we've never seen before. Let's get that absolutely straight. This is not normal. This didn't happen. Oh, this is what X, Y, and Z did in 1976, 78. No. They didn't. We are seeing, every time this guy Lomachenko fights, he writes not just his own history, but he's writing a little bit of boxing history. And I assure you, in 2, 3, 4, 5, and 6 years' time when he's gone, when we start assessing who have been the greatest fighters in the last 50 and 100 years and 150 years, this kid is guaranteed a prestigious position in anybody's poll.
Do you think he wins this thing? Because obviously, you say it's very different for him here. And Linares would Linares be facing any opponent at 1-12? If you know what I mean?
Never. I mean, not unless the guy was two weights above him and he was moving up. But it's not. Lomachenko's coming up to him. I mean, Linares is big and solid at this weight, 8 or 9 or 10 years of champ world title fights at this weight. And if Lomachenko can't find the power to hurt him, can't find the power to dissuade Linares, then as Linares builds a bit of steam, Linares makes this competitive fight. Sometimes Linares' work rate is a little bit slack. So I imagine in this fight, Lomachenko gets 4 or 5 rounds in front. And what he's done is he keeps persuading great fighters to quit. They turn around and walk away. They've not been on the floor. They've not been bashed up, but they've not hit him for 5 or 6 or 7 rounds. Now, Linares is smart and clever, really smart and clever. Is he the best man that Lomachenko's met? Yes, he probably is. But as I say, 5 or 6 of them have been really good fighters. It's a terrific fight. I fancy Lomachenko, and I fancy he might just get to Linares late in the fight, in the last four rounds.
Okay. Lomachenko to win by TKO, KO, or DQ is 4-7. So if you fancy him to get to him. And round 7-12, Bunseet, for Lomachenko, 13-8. Could I tempt you with that?
Yeah. Listen, it's the same as the points the other way, isn't it? Is that what? Yeah, 13-8. There's 2 13-8 bets today. Wow, wait, and you'd think 2 13-8 bets with specific picks, you'd think we were doing something bold.
Huey Fury on points, 13-8. Lomachenko around 7-12, 13-8. Almost 6-1 the double, which I suppose is not a bad little double going into the weekend.
No, it's not. Hey, listen, it's a nice little double. Mm. Stop moaning, people. Stop moaning and lump on, as they say in the trade.
Well, thank you very much, Bunty. Been a pleasure as always. Good luck and enjoy it this weekend.
Listen, it's always a pleasure. Speak to you very soon.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.